There is an extremely valuable asset out there in the world today. It's more valuable than any investment or insurance policy. It's more valuable than any share on any stock exchange. It's more valuable than any precious metal or any precious stone. It's more valuable than any policy or any other vehicle or any other valuable asset that you can imagine. And this item is extremely, extremely valuable. And because of its value, the enemy wants to steal it from us. Morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome once again to another time that we can spend together sharing and discussing God's word with each other. Before we get any further, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of life. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through another week. And once again, thank you for giving us an opportunity to just sit down and together meditate on God's word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can stretch across any distance or any obstacle between any person, that you're not bound by any physical barrier. You can touch people's hearts wherever they are. All those who are hungry and thirsty for you shall be satisfied. We pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would touch people's hearts, Lord, that you would give to each one of us exactly what we need to hear to be encouraged by your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that as we lift the name of Jesus on high and exalt him, you promise, Lord, that you will draw all men to yourself. And that's our prayer this morning, Lord God, that as we exalt you in our midst, by discussing the word of God together, Lord, you will draw people to you and have a real encounter with you and experience your presence in a practical way wherever they may find themselves to be this morning. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. I've called this morning's message, Guard Your Heart. This week is called Guard Your Mind. Last week, we spoke about Guard Your Heart. And we're going to just recap a little bit. We looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, speak about the helmet of salvation. And you can read it in more detail in Ephesians chapter 6. But this week, we're going to be discussing Guard Your Mind. We started off by speaking about a valuable asset, and that asset is the Word of God received in your mind when you apply it by faith. And because of its value, the enemy will want to steal that from you. So turn with me in the scriptures this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. And then NLT, it reads as follows. That is what the scriptures teach when they say, no eye has seen, no ears heard. No mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. And that encourages me this morning. It's not my wisdom, the little that there is, that I have to conjure up and speak about something that can somehow make a difference in people's lives. No, folks, this is the very word of God given to us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God revealing God's thoughts to us by his Spirit. It goes on to say, it all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Verse 16 says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? And here's the punchline this morning from this passage. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That most valuable and precious asset out there in the world today is any person that believes in God, who has chosen to believe the word of God and has applied it to their lives through a decision they've made with their will, come to an understanding in their mind. The mind that has been transformed by the word of God is extremely valuable and extremely precious. And for that very reason, dear listener, the enemy of our souls. Satan wants to steal that from us. So what makes the Word of God in our minds so valuable anyway? This verse explains it. Colossians chapter 2, from verse 2 to 3. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. And verse 3 says, in Him, that's in Christ, in Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, that Colossians verse there in chapter 2 and verse 3 is so powerful and so encompassing. It says, in Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are in desperate, desperate need for wisdom in the world today. Wisdom is where knowledge is applied. We're desperately in need of that. We need that in various fields of research, in medical studies, and in science, and in the world today, and in just how to live, how to get by, and to not just survive, but to thrive. We need godly knowledge, godly wisdom applied to our lives to be able to thrive today. And the good news is that in God's Word, when a person takes God's Word, believes it for themselves and applies it to their lives and lets the Word of God change them, it becomes the most valuable asset known to man. When we allow the Word of God to transform our minds, we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is what we need for today. You see, our mind is the fertile soil into which God plants His Word that can literally change us and the world if we let it. And there's this continuous struggle going on in the world all the time, vying for our attention to occupy our mind with stuff. Because I submit to you that the enemy, the devil, knows the value of a human mind that's been transformed by the Word of God. That man, that woman, that child becomes a force of nature to be reckoned with that brings about positive, godly change wherever they go. And this excites me because it says, in Him lie all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. In Christ, if I make the time to meditate on His Word and see what it holds for me, to unpack and discover and unfold the truths of God's promises for our lives, folks, is where the secret lies to make success in this world today, in the godly sense of the word. You see, godly sense of the word, that is. We're living in an age where we are more informed than ever before, but also more ill-informed than ever before. It has never been easier than it is in this day and age, at our very fingertips, to have an access to a world of information more than you can imagine. On our phones, those little devices have transformed our lives radically. When you don't know something, you want to look for directions, you want to find the meaning of a word, you want to find a place to eat, you're looking for a business, you're looking for somebody's phone number, whatever it is, you just want to find some interesting reading or some superfluous waste of time reading, you can all find it there. All of that information is on the tips of our fingers. And that's the challenge, to be able to discern what information is helpful, what's just mere fluff, and what is godly knowledge that can give us wisdom to enable us to live. We have so much information and yet so little transformation. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 describes not only women but people. It says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Having our heads filled with all of these facts that are not changing our lives at all. And the enemy realizes this, how valuable a mind is that has received the word of God. So if I have all of this knowledge, what does it help me if I can quote dozens and dozens of scripture verses and not allow any one of them to change my life? Is that not then just head knowledge? Am I not then what the scripture describes as a clanging cymbal or a sounding brass, just an empty vessel It has been said that empty vessels make the loudest noise. Wada, 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 yada, yada, yada. Babbling on and on and on. And not really living a life that is changed by the grace, love, and power of Jesus. And also a life that can change the lives of others. And it's this valuable asset that we need to guard. Hence the title, Guard Your Mind. What measures are we taking to safeguard the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of the person of who Jesus Christ really is, the knowledge of the person of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of the Father heart of God? What are we doing to safeguard and protect that knowledge in our lives? Then letting it grow us so that we can grow in wisdom and become effective, not only for ourselves. You see, God wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. And I mean that in the biblical sense of the word. The scripture speaks about in 3 John desiring us to prosper in all things and be in health, even as our soul prospers. God's all things, not the world's all things, but God's all things. And in Christ Jesus lie all the treasures of this knowledge and wisdom. And the mind that has received that, the mind that applies this knowledge, is a person that is to be reckoned with. This precious word of God in our mind is incorruptible, but it can be stolen. That means the enemy can steal this away from us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. There's the word incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's how we're born again, through the incorruptible seed of the word of God. But it can be stolen from us if we let the enemy take this away from us. Mark chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus teaches about the parable of the sower and a farmer that sows seed. And he says, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Birds speaking about the enemy coming to steal that seed. And the parable goes on to explain how seed falls on different types of soil and as a result has different results in terms of its growth and its fruit. But the principle is this: as soon as the seed of the word of God is sown, the devil will want to come and take that from us. You see, folks, we're accountable for what we know. And when we're exposed to the word of God and we're taught the word of God, an anointed teaching, and you meditate on it for yourself and read the scriptures, you become accountable for that which you know. And because you and I are role players in the spiritual realm, the enemy becomes aware of it as well. Factually speaking, the enemy has been around the word of God longer than we have. And he knows and understands its importance to keep it out of our minds, and something that's just there on the pages of a Bible or a Bible app on our phones. But when we guard that word and protect it and stop the birds of the air, the devil coming to steal that from us, that becomes the most valuable and precious asset that there is in the world. Therefore, the enemy would want to take that from us. So practically speaking, how does the devil steal the word of God from us? How does he come and take the incorruptible seed of the word of God away from us and stop it from finding root in our lives to bear fruit? Well, it's easy. You see, his strategy has been the same for a long, long time. He does it through lies. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 25, scripture says, to those who listen to my teaching, this is Jesus speaking, more understanding will be given. Those who listen to my teaching. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Because God is being spiteful? No, not at all. But because the enemy is real. And once the seed of the word of God is sown, he will come and steal that from every person that lets the enemy take that away from them. And that's how the devil does it. You see, folks, Satan's strategy is not new. And if I think about it long enough, he doesn't have to come up with new ideas, actually, because he catches people, God's people out time and time again with the same old strategy again and again and again. And he does it. One of the ways we're going to look at this morning is through sowing seeds of doubt, which eventually grow to become a lie. You see, if you believe a lie long enough, it becomes your reality. That's the challenging thing about a lie. If you believe it long enough, it becomes your reality. And his strategy hasn't changed since the garden. God places Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're enjoying a wonderful relationship with the Lord in the garden. God warns them about the trees, the one that they must stay away from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then the tree of life, where they can eat of its fruit freely as much as they want, whenever they want. And Satan comes along. Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat fruit from any of the trees in the garden?'" What did he do? He didn't just come outright and say, "God did not say," because Adam and Eve knew that God did say that. Indeed, Satan sowed a seed of doubt in a woman. Did God really say that? I mean, did he really say that? And that's where it started. And Satan uses that same strategy today to plant seeds of doubt in our lives, which come in and choke the word and stop it from being fruitful. That's the most precious and valuable asset. When a mind has received the word of God and we mix it with faith and choose to believe it and take it at face value, just simply because God has said it, we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. I want to look at just one example this morning. If we look at our current situation in this nation, what is a very, very current lie in this country right now? I'm going to echo the words that you've probably heard already. There's no future for South Africa. Have you heard that? South Africa is going to become like the rest of Africa. Have you heard that before? There's no future for my children in South Africa. There's no future in terms of job security in South Africa. And it's lie upon lie upon lie upon lie that the devil's using to cast seeds of doubt in the minds of anybody that would listen. I'm not going to sit here this morning and be foolish enough to try and tell you that there are no challenges and no real, real difficulties in this country right now. Just look at the media. Just leave your home. Go out into the streets. Go out into the highways and byways, into the businesses, and just see what is happening. Folks, it's real. But that still doesn't change who God is. It still does not change his word. And more importantly, my brother, my sister, it does not change the promise of God's word for you. Yes, you as an individual. You see, Christ's love for the world is not just a general love for his church as a whole. His love is very, very specific. Psalm 139 speaks about how attuned God is to the very finest details of your life. From the big things to the smallest things in your life, God is aware of that, and he loves us. And these are the things that are important to us. And when we live at that place in our lives, where we have this understanding of God's love, have accepted his word at face value and believe it, and let it start to change our minds, well, watch out, world. Here comes a man or a woman or a child of God that God will use to help build his kingdom in people's lives. And that's the enemy's strategy today. Lie upon lie. And like God will use anyone and everyone that is willing to work with him, so too, Satan will use people that are willing to work with him. And he uses people to spread lies. He uses people to cast seeds of doubt. Sometimes we think the only activity of the devil is demonic activity, where it's demons and spooks and all sorts of things like that, which, by the way, is a reality as well. But like God uses people, Satan will use anybody that's willing to work with him as well. My encouragement to you this morning is to let the truth of this message sink into our hearts and realize this precious, precious asset that we have, a mind that has been transformed by the word of God. Let's remind ourselves of this truth. He still has the whole world in his hands. If I say that there's no future for South Africa, I might as well paraphrase it by saying that this problem is just too big for God to fix. This mess that we are facing right now is something that has caught God by surprise. No, it has not. A couple of weeks ago, I shared, just before we were not allowed to get together in in-person fellowship, I shared that I still believe that we have a role to play to be part of the solution in this country. And until such time that we believe that we can be part of the solution, God wants you and I here to make a difference. In our own homes, first and foremost, in our families, in our circle of friends, and our colleagues at work, and wherever we may be, to have the opportunity to touch the lives of other people, God wants us to make a difference. You see, you might think to yourself, you say, well, Mozzie, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, or my patty has slid off my burger a long time ago. Whatever the case may be, you need not be the brightest spark, or the main peanut in the packet, so to speak, or the big hobnob. If you're a man or woman that humbles themselves before Almighty God, submits to God, resists the devil, he will flee. But there's humility and there's submission involved in that, my brother, my sister. We will allow the word of God to change us. Let me challenge you and myself with this question this morning. How teachable are you? How teachable are you to learn something from the word of God? Perhaps it's a scripture that you've heard dozens of times, but it's never become a reality in your life to the point where you apply it to your life and let it change your life. Humility and submission will require that, where we let the word of God change us. So how do we guard our minds? I want to close off this concept this morning with just two things. Practically, how do we guard our minds? One of the ways of doing it is meditating, like the scripture teaches us to. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, it reads like this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. There's the mind again. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. That means keep on doing. You see, God is a practical God. Jesus is a practical Savior. Folks, he walked in the water once. The rest of the time, he used the boats that were available. We need to keep putting into practice all the things you've learned and received from me. Not me. Paul speaking to the people in Philippi, we wrote this letter. The things that the godly examples that he lived out and that they could see in his life. So if there's any godly example that you've been taught by somebody, keep practicing that godly example in your life. And he says, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, not just hearing, everything you heard from me. That's why Paul could say, you want to come to a close relationship with God, do as I do. Don't just do as I say, do as I do. Because he was walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So the one way that we can guard our minds is meditating on things that the word of God describes as true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me and everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Here's a challenging thought. In these last couple of weeks where we have not been allowed to get together for in-person fellowship, what have you been doing with your time on a Sunday morning? What have you been doing in terms of, for yourself, getting into the Word of God? What have you been doing in terms of connecting with your brothers and sisters in the body via a phone call, via a social media group or social media platform? What have you been, we can't get together in crowds or whatever, but you can visit to a degree while maintaining social distancing and all the safety protocols that we're encouraged to keep. What have you been doing to keep yourself in constant fellowship? I submit to you that there are many, many people that have used the COVID-19 safety protocols as just another excuse to add to their arsenal of already existing excuses to stay out of fellowship and to stay away from corporate fellowship. And I chose the word corporate fellowship because when we say the church, we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we are the church. The church is wherever God's people are. But I'm talking about the importance of corporate fellowship together and encouraging one another. Skype calls, Zoom meetings, and the like. Just finding practical ways to encourage each other. You see, the doors of the building may be closed, but you cannot and will not ever close God's church down. Jesus promises us that he will build his church and the very gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. So the one way that we can guard and protect this precious asset of ours, which is the word of God in our minds, is to meditate on the things that the scripture describes like this. And the second way is this. If you're feeling discouraged this morning, perhaps you've been waiting and expecting and longing and looking for something from the outside to encourage you. Perhaps a message like this, and if it encourages you, God bless you. I bless God for the fact that his word can mean something to somebody this morning. Perhaps you're waiting for that text to come, or that favorite televangelist from whatever Christian station on TV, or whatever, or a YouTube channel, something to encourage you with. Perhaps you're waiting for something to encourage you from the outside. Once again, this message this morning is challenging, and I want to challenge us with this thought. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 from the King James reads like this. And David was greatly distressed. Can we place ourselves in that category this morning? Greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. They wanted to take this boy out because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It says it just like that in the King James. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. How did he get that right? I want to submit to you, folks, that David took the word of God, that which the Spirit had revealed to him, and the intimacy that he had with his God through the times he was looking after animals and the flocks, protecting them from the wolves and the bears and the lions that would want to come and steal a valuable flock. David developed a relationship with God. He delighted himself in the Lord his God. And it said he strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. Some translations say he found strength in his God. Where did David get that from, folks? I submit to you that David had that most valuable and precious asset. He had a mind that was filled with the word of God. He allowed the word of God to change him. And because of that, he could encourage himself in the Lord. So just two ways I'd like to leave with you this morning as we close this message called Guard Your Heart. Number one, meditate on that which the word of God describes as worthwhile meditating on. And number two, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Make the time to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life, and then make the time to act upon that which the Holy Spirit convinces you to do. And you'll start to see things will change in your life. You'll start to physically feel better, literally physically in your body. You'll start to feel better in your mind and your soul, the seat of your appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. And you'll be at a place where you can live a life of encouragement, where you can be an encouragement to other people. So as we wrap up this morning, last week we spoke about guarding your heart and protecting it against the enemy coming in and looting that which God has deposited there. And this week, guard your mind. Guard your mind and do not let the devil, through seeds of doubt and other lies, through media and all sorts of places where we can get these things from. One last thought I'd like to share with you. I remember seeing this short video clip of Denzel Washington being interviewed about a particular topic. And he spoke about the media and the role that the media plays in people's lives. And he said this powerful words, and I'll never forget it. He said, if you don't read the newspapers, You're uninformed. And if you do read the newspapers, you're ill-informed. So what do? We're left in the place we needed to seek for the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's there. Do we deem it worthy enough? Do we deem it treasure worthy enough to search for, to seek, to look for, to find, to make the time, to acquire this knowledge, all the wealth of godly knowledge and wisdom wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious, precious word that He's made available to us. Folks, you are valuable and precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love you dearly. We trust that the times that you make to meditate on God's word as we just share with you in these Sunday morning messages, that it'll be an encouragement to you, be something that you can practically apply to your life to change you and get you through whatever the enemy may throw at you. And if you're at that place where you're strong, reach out then to others who might need help in the same way you did. If you're at a challenging place and you need to reach out to somebody, please reach us. Contact us on our websites. The details are available there on the website and our Facebook page and the YouTube channel. Reach out to somebody. Get in touch with one of the care group leaders in an area close to you, and somebody will pray with you, and if necessary, get resources to you and visit you, and just make sure that you understand you do not have to do this thing alone. Folks, the good news is this thing will come to pass and it will come to end. May you reach out and grab hold of the promises that God has for you as you guard your mind. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a great week. Stay safe. God bless. And we'll see you, listen to you, tune in around God's word, same time next week. God bless. Cheers.